Let's now turn in our Bibles to the book of Numbers, chapter 6. In the Pew Bible, that's on page 157. As you know, Pastor Haldeman is technically on vacation this week. And even though I've been preaching through the book of Philippians in the evening service, we're going to take a break from our usual routine this morning and spend some time looking at the end of Numbers chapter 6. Before we read, let me give you a little bit of the context about the book of Numbers to help you better understand the passage. The book of Numbers basically picks up where the book of Exodus left off. So in the book of Numbers, we read of this time period between the Israelites being delivered out of slavery in Egypt and then their time at the promised land in Canaan. And so if you look at the contents of all of the contents of the book of Numbers, we see preparations for the journey through the wilderness on their way to the promised land. We read of their time when they were in the wilderness. And then we also read of their initial arrival at the promised land. Our passage this morning, Numbers 6, verses 22 to 27, comes obviously at the beginning of the book of Numbers. And it speaks of one of the duties that these priests had that they were to do in the tabernacle as the Israelites would travel through the wilderness and then continue to do so once they arrived in the promised land. So this is Numbers 6, verses 22 to 27. I'll be reading from the New King James. Let's hear now the word of God. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to Aaron and his sons, saying, 'This is the way you shall bless the children of Israel. Say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.' So they shall put my name on the children of Israel, and I will bless them." Here ends the reading of God's holy word, and may the Lord be pleased to bless it to our good and to the glory of his own. On April 12, 1861, a pivotal event took place in our nation's history as the Confederate Army opened fire upon the Union Army's Fort Sumter, triggering what we know as the American Civil War, a war that would determine the future of our country. Would we remain a slaveholding nation or would we not? As you probably know the history, when President Lincoln first took office, he was openly opposed to slavery. And the slave states at that time obviously objected to that. And so seven of those states seceded from the country, making the Confederate States of America. Well, after a failed attempt to reach peace between the slave states and the free states, war became inevitable. And hence we see the attack on April 12, 1861. It was then within the next 8 months that approximately 1 million American soldiers were fighting against one another on our soil. Some of the battles were small. We maybe haven't heard of them unless we're historians. Some of the battles were large, like Gettysburg. And perhaps, boys and girls, you've heard about Gettysburg or have learned about Gettysburg. And yet, finally, the war came to an end. May 10th, 1865, and the North won. Slavery would, after all, be abolished in our country. And what a great day it was. What a great day it was to see an end to slavery. Perhaps one of the greatest days in our nation's history. And now for those of us who live in that same country, but nearly 150 years later, are we not thankful that slavery was done away with on that day? And that's not something we see around us. That justice was upheld back then. That men were willing to fight for this. And so that we could reap the benefits of this. You see, the end of slavery was such a blessing to so many people. How many slaves, countless slaves, were released that day? And yet we today are still experiencing the blessing of living in America in the 21st century. But it was a blessing that came at great cost. It was a blessing that came at great cost. Nearly 625,000 American soldiers were killed in that war. That was the deadliest war in our nation's history. Our passage this morning, we're reminded too of a great blessing. The Lord's blessing. The blessing that exceeds any other blessing there is in this world. And yet, it is a blessing like the abolishment of slavery that comes to us at great cost. The blessing of God is not free for sinners. It cost the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so as we look at this passage this morning, and as we familiarize ourselves or look more in depth at something that we are quite familiar with, the main point that I want you to see, that really we are to take away from this passage and into this week, is this. Jesus was cursed so that you can be blessed. Jesus was cursed so that you can be blessed. And therefore, believe the benediction of the Lord and rely upon His blessing throughout the week. Believe the benediction of the Lord and rely upon His blessing throughout the week. Boys and girls, if you're going to draw a picture this morning, why don't you draw a picture of a pastor, not necessarily me, but a pastor pronouncing... You can draw a picture of me if you want, but I don't. That's not the point. The point is, I want you to draw a picture of a pastor pronouncing the benediction, and I want you to then be in that picture. And maybe you can be taking notes. What is the benediction saying? What does this mean? Why should I listen to this? All right, so you'll have to listen to the sermon to find out what the benediction means. But draw a picture of yourself receiving the benediction and taking note of what that means to you. Well, there's an outline in your bulletin. First thing we see then as we look at this passage is that the benediction is a pronouncement of the Lord's blessing to you. The benediction is a pronouncement of the Lord's blessing to you. Let's look at verses 22 to the beginning of verse 23. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to Aaron and his sons, saying, this is the way you shall bless the children of Israel." Here the Lord tells Moses to instruct Aaron and his sons to bless the children of Israel. They were the covenant community, the local church, if you will. In case you don't remember, Aaron and his sons were the from the tribe of Levi. They were the priests, or called to be priests, set apart for the work of the ministry, mediating between God and man. And they had a list, though, of many responsibilities and duties that they were to do. One of them was to pronounce the blessing of the Lord upon the people. And this is what we see in verses 24 to 26, where the Lord gives the priest the exact words they are to say as they would pronounce this blessing. And notice, God does not instruct the priest to pray for this blessing. Have you noticed that? God does not say, pray for this blessing. He says, say this blessing to the covenant community. All right. The benediction is a pronouncement of the Lord's blessing upon you. So as a quick side note, when Pastor Holdeman or I are pronouncing the benediction, it's okay to look up and to have your eyes open because we're not praying. It's not a prayer of conclusion. It is a pronouncement of the Lord's blessing to the people of God. Moreover, even though this may seem pretty obvious, the priestly benediction, as we see here in verses 24 to 26, was a pronouncement of the Lord's blessing, not the priest's blessing. It was a pronouncement of the Lord's blessing, not the priest's blessing. We know this because in verses 24 to 26, the word Lord is repeated three times, not because it had to be done grammatically, but rather for emphasis. There was to be no doubt about it. The Lord is the one who is blessing you. In fact, the Lord reaffirms this at verse 27, where he says, "So they shall put my name on the children of Israel, and I will bless them." In the Hebrew, it's literally, "and I will bless them." It's even more emphatic, so that you get the point. It's the Lord's blessing. And this means then that the priests were merely the human instruments. They were the agents through which the benediction of the Lord was said to the people of God. You know, it's interesting that the Lord gave the high privilege of pronouncing the blessing of God upon his people to Aaron, who not long before this happened was the one leading the people building the golden calf and committing a heinous sin against the Lord. This is the man who gets this great and high privilege. And this reminds us, the person pronouncing the benediction is no greater than the rest of us. I am just as fallen as you are. It's not my blessing. I need the blessing just as much as you need the blessing. It's the blessing of the Lord through the lips of his minister. And so, as you can probably tell by now, even though the Old Testament office of priest has been done away with in Christ, who is that great and final high priest, the benediction is still to be pronounced to the people of God today. And like the priest, it is only to be done by those who have been set apart, ordained, called by God to be ministers in the covenant community. And this is why pastors, elders of local churches continue to do this at the end of each worship service. Often we use this very benediction in Numbers chapter 6. But as we look at the New Testament, we see there are many other examples of benedictions being pronounced that we can use as well. The other one you're probably most familiar with is found in 2 Corinthians 13:14, which I've put on the back of your outline. I've given you some quotes and cross-references. 2 Corinthians 13:14 says, "The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen." So when you hear the benediction at the conclusion of the worship service, realize that the Lord is pronouncing his blessing to you. As it says in verse 27, the name of the Lord is being put upon you, meaning he's identifying himself with you, that you are his people, his children. It's a special moment. It's not a prayer wish. I'm not lifting up a prayer wishing for God to bless you. It's also not a cue for you to start packing up your stuff. It's a pronouncement of the Lord's blessing upon you. I once heard Ted Donnelly from the Irish RP Church say this, and I've given you this on your outline as well. He says, "If you get nothing else from a worship service except for the benediction, you'd be getting a lot." Isn't that interesting? If that's all you take away from this service today is the benediction before you walk out of the door, you'd be getting a lot. So we are to pay close attention to the benediction, for it is a pronouncement of the Lord's blessing. Well, secondly, the Lord blesses you with his protection. The Lord blesses you with his protection. Verse 24, we see the beginning of this benediction that was to be pronounced. And it says, "The Lord bless you and keep you." This benediction begins with a clear statement that the Lord is the one who blesses you. As we saw earlier, blessing is from the Lord alone. But it also tells us that the Lord's disposition towards his people is one that desires to bless. His disposition towards you is that of divine favor and goodness towards us. And so one of the ways the Lord expresses this disposition of favor, his blessing towards us, is by keeping us, which is what he goes on to say in the first line of the benediction of verse 24. "The Lord bless you and keep you." The idea here is that of guardianship, protection from danger. Remember, when this was given to Aaron and his sons, the Israelites were about to embark on a dangerous journey through the wilderness, only finally to end up in Canaan, where they would then have to fight against many enemy nations in order to possess the promised land. And so the Israelites were going to go through perilous times ahead of them. And it seems that as they were going into these dangers, the Lord wanted them to know time after time after time that the Lord's blessing was upon them. But the Lord's keeping is not just physical. It is primarily spiritual. It was the case back for the Israelites, and it's the case for us now. Because even in the wilderness, even when they were taking possession of the promised land, many Israelites died. And as we've learned from Pastor Holderman's preaching recently from Revelation, God does not necessarily promise physical protection even for His people. But He does, and we see this throughout Scripture, promise spiritual protection to His people. He promises to spiritually keep His children. We saw this in Psalm 121, verse 7. The Lord shall preserve you from all evil. He shall preserve your soul. One of the ways the Lord keeps you is by protecting you from your spiritual enemies. The world, right? That the sinful way of thinking around you. The flesh, your own indwelling sin. And Satan. In Christ, God has freed you from the dominion of your spiritual enemies. And by His Spirit, He continues to strengthen you in your battle against wickedness. And so He's keeping you in this way. In addition, though, the Lord keeps you by ensuring that you do not turn your back on Him completely and fall away from grace. And brothers and sisters, this means that if you are a true believer, you cannot lose your salvation. You cannot lose your salvation. A teaching we see throughout Scripture. One of the primary passages is John 10, verses 27 to 29, where Jesus speaks of this very same thing. He says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand." Amen. The Lord spiritually keeps His people. If we are in Christ, there will not be a day when we are out of Christ. He blesses you with His protection. Well, thirdly, the Lord blesses you with His grace. The Lord blesses you with His grace. Let's look now at verse 25. "The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you." As the benediction progresses, it continues to express this favorable disposition of the Lord towards you as His child. And so as the second line of the benediction here says, the blessing is of having the Lord's face shine upon you and Him being gracious to you. Have you ever seen someone's face shining or beaming, as we sometimes say it? On my wedding day, when I saw Anne walk down the aisle, my face was shining. I've been waiting for that day for months. And so when I finally was able to lay eyes, when the doors opened and laid eyes on my beautiful bride-to-be in her wedding dress, I was smiling from ear to ear, even crying some if you were there. I was beaming. My face was beaming on all who were around me. And this is what it means for the Lord's face to shine upon you. Brothers and sisters in Christ, the Lord delights in you. Like a love-struck groom on his wedding day, He too is overwhelmed with joy when He thinks of you, when He looks at you, because He loves you more than you can ever imagine. And this is why the second part of this line goes on to say that the Lord will be gracious to you. Like we saw with the first line of the benediction, the second part of the line gives a special application of the first part. So in other words, the Lord is gracious to you because His face is shining upon you. As His child adopted into the family of God through the work of Jesus Christ, the Lord always, always, always blesses you with undeserved grace and favor. Psalm 103, verses 10 to 13 says this so nicely, as we're reminded of many, many, many blessings that we have in Christ. Verses 10 to 13, we read of these, some of them. "He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor punished us according to our iniquities. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is His mercy toward those who fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us. As a father pities his children, so the Lord pities those who fear Him." What a beautiful thing it is to hear that the Lord does not deal with us as we deserve. We deserve not blessing, not grace. We deserve wrath and punishment. We are lawbreakers by nature. We are sinners and continue to be so. And yet the benediction reminds us that the Lord deals with His children graciously all the time. Not just when you're faithfully reading your Bible. Not just when you're having a good day in your pursuit of holiness. The Lord will always pour out His grace upon you. Because His face is shining upon you. He delights in you. And He cannot help but show grace and mercy to those in whom He delights. Isn't this what you need? Don't you need to be forgiven of your sins? Don't you need the Lord to give you His grace, enabling you to serve Him faithfully? In our pride, we like to think that we don't need His grace. We can do it on our own. And yet here in the benediction, we're reminded God gives us His grace. What a blessing that is. Psalm 103 said, He has not and He will not treat you as you deserve in Christ, punishing you for your iniquities. He graciously forgives your sins, removes all your transgressions, has compassion on you like a father. If you are in Christ Jesus and know Him savingly, the Lord is not angry with you anymore. His wrath has been paid. He will always deal with you graciously. He's pardoned your sins. He is favorable towards you at all times. And we cannot forget this. The Lord blesses you with His grace always. Well, fourthly, then, the Lord blesses you with His peace. The Lord blesses you with His peace. And this is what we see in the final part of this benediction in verse 26. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. Our English Bibles tend to use the word countenance in this verse, but the word translated countenance is really the Hebrew word for face. It's the same word for face that was just said in verse 25. So literally the verse is saying the Lord lift up His face upon you. The Lord lift up His face toward you. The idea is that the Lord is not hiding His face from you. In the Bible, to hide your face is an expression of anger. We see this in passages such as Deuteronomy 31:17. Just one example where God says, "Then my anger shall be aroused against them in that day, and I will forsake them and I will hide my face from them." To hide your face was an expression of anger. But instead, the benediction is saying the Lord's lifting up His face upon you. He's looking at you. He's not hiding His face in anger, which is what we deserve. He lifts up His head and He shows you His face. Every Sunday morning and evening after the worship service is concluded, there's something that happens in this congregation. Instead of running right out of the door, getting in your cars and driving right home, the majority of the congregation stays right where you are and talks and talks and talks. That's one of my favorite things about this congregation, is that we love having fellowship with one another. However, there are always those mildly awkward times when you see other people having that conversation, and yet you want to be a part of that conversation that's already going on. And so not rudely interrupting the conversation, you try to get close to them so that they see you, and then you wait. And after you wait for a few seconds, if you realize, okay, they're not looking at me, they're hiding their face, in essence, then you can take a hint. This is not the time to join this particular conversation. Now, thankfully, I don't think that happens all too often in this congregation, and that's great. However, after you've waited a while, you realize one of the persons or both of them look over at you, give you a little smile or something. Then you know it's okay. I can join the conversation. Right? They've expressed to me, they've signified to me their acceptance of me joining them. Likewise, by lifting up His countenance upon you, looking at you with a shining face, the Lord expresses to you He will always deal with you favorably, that He accepts you into His presence. He does not hide His face and reject you like what we deserve. He accepts you and welcomes you to be near to Him. Remember, His face is smiling. He delights in you. And if he's showing his intent to bless you always and to be favorable to you always, which he is, then his righteous anger is not burning against you. And so you don't need to be afraid of him. Even when you sin, you don't need to be afraid of him. He's gracious to you. In addition, since the Lord lifts up his countenance and looks upon you with favor, you have peace, as verse 26 says. If there's no longer enmity between the righteous God and you as a sinner, then you have peace with God. He has restored your relationship to himself, and this should calm your heart. Moreover, since you have peace with God and you know that he will not judge you for your sins, then you can know that your sins are forgiven. So even when the heavy hand of conviction is upon you and you feel terrible about your sins, you can know and find peace in the fact that the Lord has lifted up his countenance upon you and continues to do so, forgiving you of your sins. And since the Lord is not hiding his face from you in anger, but looking at you, he's paying attention. He knows what you need. He cares for you. There's no reason to worry anymore about what you'll eat or what will happen to you. The Lord's looking at you, smiling at you, delighting in you. He knows and he cares. And that should give you peace. And so the benediction concludes by reminding you that the Lord lifts up his countenance upon you and in doing so blesses you with his peace. Well, fifthly, the Lord blesses you because Jesus was cursed for you. The Lord blesses you because Jesus was cursed for you. What we've seen in this benediction that is to be pronounced to the people of God is that the Lord blesses his people with protection, grace, and peace. The question then becomes, how can a holy and righteous God bestow such boundless blessing upon sinners who break his law day after day after day? And the answer, of course, is found only in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, Jesus was sent to earth in order to win God's blessing for sinners like you and me. As Scripture reminds us, sinners who do not perfectly keep the law of God are cursed by God and do not receive his blessing. Galatians 3:10, the second part. We see this stated so clearly for us. Cursed is everyone who does not continue in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. Cursed. That's how we stand on our own. Jesus, on the other hand, as the Son of God, has been eternally blessed by the Father. And even as he lived on this earth sinlessly, perfectly keeping the law of God on our behalf, he lived in such a way that merited the Lord's blessing. But when he who knew no sin became sin for us, he exchanged his blessing for our curse. Galatians 3:13. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. As the commentator Ian Duguid puts it, the cross is the antithesis of the benediction. The cross is the antithesis of the benediction. Think of this with me for a moment. Did God the Father bless and keep Jesus as he hung upon the cross? Did God the Father make his face shine upon Jesus and be gracious to him when he was on the cross? Did God the Father lift up his countenance upon Jesus and give him peace when he was on the cross? No. Not at all. Instead of being protected, Jesus was handed over to the enemies who would crucify him. Instead of experiencing the smiling face and grace of God, Jesus experienced the sheer indignation and wrath of God Almighty. And instead of seeing the Father lift up his face toward him and give him peace, Jesus cried out in anguish, my God, why have you forsaken me? Jesus did not deserve this. You and I deserve the cursing. Yet Jesus took our curse upon himself so that we could receive the Lord's blessing. And it is this blessing that Jesus Christ won for us that is pronounced to you when you hear the benediction. Christ purchased it for you by His blood. And so even though all who sit in this room hear the pastor pronounce the benediction, we must say that the blessing promised in the benediction is only to those who are in Christ. It's only to those who by God's grace have come to know and trust the Lord Jesus for salvation. Because it is a blessing purchased by the blood of Christ. You see, apart from having a saving relationship with the Savior, the curse is still upon you. It's not been paid. If that's you, come to Jesus. Don't wait. Come today. But if your faith is in the Lord Jesus Christ, the blessing is yours. The curse has been taken, and the blessing is yours. Jesus is the reason the Lord protects you. Jesus is the reason the Lord smiles upon you and deals graciously with you. Jesus is the reason the Lord lifts up His countenance upon you and gives you peace. And so, therefore, believe the benediction of the Lord and rely upon His blessing throughout the week. This is our sixth point. Many of you pay attention to what's going on in the news, then you realize that often what happens repeats itself. For instance, in the past few weeks, the shooting in Connecticut has been on the minds of the media. And so it's been on the news. It's been on newspapers and so forth. And of course, this grabbed our attention. It was shocking. It was saddening to hear of such tragic events. But at the same time, it's not the first time that we've heard of such a thing. We all can remember school shootings, even in our lifetime, most of us. And sadly, it's probably not going to be the last time we'll hear of such an event. And what's more, even though school shootings, thankfully, are not all that frequent, murder happens every day on the streets of our country and on the streets throughout the world. And until Jesus comes again, we will continue to read of such tragic events in the news day after day after day. But as we hear news of such terrible things, how easy it can be to become indifferent towards it. We're familiar with, okay, someone was murdered today in Iraq. Someone was shot on the streets of Chicago. Okay, it's bad that people got killed in Connecticut. But if we're honest, we've heard it before. It's not to make light of it. It's just to point out to the fact that we're familiar with these things. And if we're not careful, then we can become hardened to them and not sorrow after these sad events as we should. We could become indifferent. You know, the benediction comes with the same temptation. You hear it once or twice a week. Some of you, you've heard it every week of your life. You know the words better than the pastor sometimes. But if you're not careful, it's going to be meaningless to you. So when you hear it, pay attention. What is being said? And believe it. Do you believe it? Do you know that if you're in Christ, it is yours, and we must not be indifferent towards it? So make sure you think about what is being said. Make sure you know that it's not a closing prayer. It's not a time to pack up. It's a time to listen. The Lord is pronouncing His blessing to you. And since the benediction is a reminder of what Jesus has done for you on the cross, it should impact how you live throughout the week. When you don't hear the benediction pronounced from the pulpit. I once heard another RP pastor say, the benediction serves as a bridge from the worship service to the world outside. It serves as a bridge from the worship service to the world outside. Remember, as we saw earlier, God first gave this benediction to the priests to pronounce when they were about to begin their journey through the wilderness. And likewise, until you arrive in heaven, your promised land, you will be traveling in your wilderness as you are on this earth, where your spiritual enemies will always be around you, seeking to ruin you. And this is why you always need to rely upon the blessing of the Lord announced to you in the benediction. This is why we end the service with the benediction, so that as you leave, that is what should be in your mind. The Lord's blessing be upon you. His protection, His grace, and His peace, and all that that means. And we need not forget the Lord's blessing. As you see doubts arise in your heart, as you feel the attack of the evil one, you need to be able to reassure yourself, the Lord is keeping me. As you fall into grave sin, and even as you sin every day of your life, you need to know the Lord will still be gracious to you in Christ. When your heart is shaken, you need to know the Lord is the one who gives you peace. Your life should be lived in light of the promises declared in the benediction. And so believe it and rely upon the blessing of the Lord, His protection, His grace, and His peace. Jesus was cursed so that you can be blessed. Believe the benediction of the Lord and rely upon His blessing throughout the week. Let's pray. Father, how we thank you for this passage, and we just pray that you would help us to believe what we hear as it's pronounced week after week, and to take it seriously, not take it lightly. That, Lord, we would rely upon your blessing that is ours in Christ, won for us by the Lord Jesus who was cursed in our place. Lord, how thankful we are to you. May we not take it for granted. Thank you, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.